And Advent is the anticipation of the coming of God, of Jesus into the world. We've been talking a little bit about that each week, and there's five candles that we celebrate it with. The first candle, this is a test to see if you were paying attention. The first candle is, it's the candle of hope or prophecy. And if you look at your handout there, I've put anything on here, and it's from 1 Samuel 3:4. It says, "Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.'" Now, if you read the rest of it, he goes down and he runs to Eli because Samuel was a gift of God. His mother Hannah would come with her husband each year to make the sacrifices at the temple. And one time Hannah's praying and Eli sees her lips moving, but there's no words coming out. And so he tells her she ought to quit drinking and getting drunk. She says, "I'm not getting drunk. I'm praying because I'm in pain." And she explains it to her. So he says, "Well, next year when you come back, you'll have what you need." So she goes home, she gets pregnant, and she has a baby. But she doesn't go back until he's weaned, which is about 5 or 6 years old. And then she takes him back, and she presents him to Eli to be a servant in the temple. And he's just a little boy. And each year she brings him a new robe to wear. And then in 1 Samuel 3:10 and 11, it says, the Lord came and he kept going to the Lord kept calling him, and he kept going to Eli and said, "Here I am, what do you want?" And Eli says, "I didn't call you, go back to bed." So the third time this happens, Eli finally says, dawns on him, "Oh, it must be the Lord calling you." So he says, "The next time the Lord calls on you, say, 'Here I am, I'm listening.'" So in verse 10, it says, "The Lord came and stood there, called as at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.' And the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle.'" Samuel, from a little boy, became a prophet. God just delivered a message. He says, "I'm going to deliver a message that are going to make people's ears tingle." And he was doing that all through history of scriptures. He was calling on people to give messages to God. And usually they were what? People you didn't expect to be prophets. People who thought they were cowards, all kinds of different things. You look, and God always used the weakest of the weak. And so the first candle we have here is the candle of hope, or the prophecy candle. The second one is peace. Peace. Peace candle, or the candle, the Bethlehem candle, right, or the Bethlehem candle. What took place was is that they were supposed to be in Bethlehem, but Joseph and Mary lived where? Nazareth, the wrong place to be. And so the Lord causes the governor to call for a census, so they go back to their home. And if Luke 1:26 through 38, now this is a long reading, and so it says, "In the sixth month." Now, the message before this is her cousin Elizabeth. Remember, Zechariah worked in the temple, and the Lord appeared to him by the altar and said, "Your wife Elizabeth, who's old, she's going to have a baby." And being full of confidence, he says, "How do I know you're not lying to me?" In essence, that's what he said. "How do I know you're not lying to me?" And so the angel says, "You're not going to be able to speak until the baby's born." So he goes home. Elizabeth gets pregnant. So in the sixth month, that means the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Now that's important too, because God had always said that the prophet and the Savior would come through the lineage of David. And so that's what the angel's saying. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. How do you think you'd respond if an angel showed up? To Kelsey, greetings. Yeah. Okay. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said, "How will this be?" Mary asked, "since I'm a virgin." Now, you know, she questioned Gabriel too. But did you see the difference in the question? How do I know you're not lying to me? Mary just says, "How's this going to be? How's that going to take place? How's that going to happen? Since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responds, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." May it be to me as you have said. She says, "I'm the servant. I'm the servant of the Lord. Whatever he wants, he'll get. I'll do it." Matthew 1:23-25 says, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up from a dream, he was in a dream, and he had this dream. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home to be his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus. Joseph was another prophet. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph many times. Said, "Don't be afraid to take her as your wife, because this is of the Lord." And another time, he said, "Get up, get out, take the kid, take your baby, and head off to Egypt, because Herod wants to kill him." And then he told him to go home. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee of Judea and Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and lineage of David. So he listened to that, and he went to where he was supposed to go. So we have the Bethlehem candle. The third candle here is the candle of what? The shepherd's candle, yeah, or joy. Now the shepherd, we talked about the shepherds. Again, the most unlikely people, people who were considered lowlifes because they couldn't keep all the cleanliness codes that were required of them. And so they were the shepherds. But the angels came and they told the shepherds, "He's born in Bethlehem." And so the scripture here says, "And they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." They had been told what would happen, and they were glorifying. Again, the most unlikely people bringing the greatest news that there is in that aspect of it. And then the last part of it, the last candle here, is the love candle. Yeah, the love candle. And the love candle is also called the angel candle, because the angels came proclaiming the love of God for the people. So God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so that's the message that the angels bring throughout all scripture, is that God loved the world. and gave his only son. That's what he did. Now, they were required to do certain things. And the interesting part about it is, Jesus was born what? A baby, just like everybody else. He was born in complete dependence upon his family. His family had to take care of him. They had to bathe him. They had to wipe his little bottom when he made a mess. All the same things that we do as a child. He grew up and did what he needed to do. And he was just a boy that played in the street and did all kinds of things, but never sinned. But there were certain rituals and laws that they had to do. And Jesus was not exempt from them. Luke 2:22, when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. All the firstborns had to be presented to the Lord and then redeemed. So they did that. And then in 2:39-41, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year his parents went up to Jerusalem to a feast of the Passover, just like everybody else. They had to clean him, they had to take care of him, of all those things. And it's extremely important that we know that Jesus came into the world. God could have sent angels in and cleaned things up and straightened things out. Could have done all kinds of things differently, but he sent his only begotten son because he loved the world so much. In John, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, and that's what's happened. The things have all taken place. All the prophecies have been fulfilled about his coming. He's here, he's born, he's growing up as a child, he's listened to his family, and we don't hear anything more about him. They went back to Nazareth, and we don't hear anything else about him for years because he didn't do anything special. He didn't raise the dead, any of that kind of stuff, until he was 30 years old when he entered into his ministry. But an important scriptures here is that John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word. Now, who's the Word? Test question. Who's the Word? Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So that tells us that Jesus is eternal. He was with God in the beginning. John 1:4, the Word became flesh and made his home and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. The amazing thing about Christmas is that God became flesh. He became a human being. There's a reason for that. Hebrews 2:14 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus became flesh and blood. That's critical. We've heard of the Immaculate Conception. How many of you have ever used the word immaculate? Maybe once or twice? Okay. What did you use it in relation to? Housekeeping. Okay. How many of you know people who their houses are immaculate? I lived with somebody that way. It drove me crazy. I'm a slob. But immaculate means clean, clean. And so the clean part here goes back to Mary having been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Jesus had to be flesh and blood to pay for our sins, like it just said here in Hebrews. He had to be flesh and blood. So he came to this world as a baby. But how was Mary impregnated? By the Holy Spirit. Why? Because in the garden, who sinned? Adam. Eve was deceived. She was led astray. Adam was standing right there. He knew what he was doing. He sinned. She didn't. If you get deceived, is that a sin? No. Because you were ignorant of it. You didn't know. And so here they are, they're in the garden. Eve is deceived, Adam sins. Well, the Son of Man, Son of God, has got to pay for our sins. And so he comes into this world, but the iniquity of the people, the sins of people, is carried down through the fathers. Does that mean your women get off the hook? No, because you blow it too. But the sin comes down through the fathers. So Jesus' mother was Mary, father was the Holy Spirit. No sin, the sin part. They become one. That's why Jesus didn't have any sin of birth, because that we have, because he had the Holy Spirit. His father was the Holy Spirit, who was immaculate, who was pure, who was clean. He didn't inherit sin through the father, and so he could redeem us. It was also very important that he become human, because if he had not have become human, he could have came down to earth as not a human being, but he couldn't have paid for our sins. It's like a story I heard about a judge one time, and this guy, one of his friends, he says, the judge, I got a speeding ticket the other day. Can you take care of it for me? And the judge says, yeah. He says, okay. So he says, a little bit later, he says, he called the judge up, and he says, I want to thank you for dismissing that ticket I had. And the judge says, I didn't dismiss it. And he goes, well, if you didn't dismiss it, what did you do? He goes, I paid the fine. And the guy goes, well, I didn't want you to pay my fine. I just wanted you to dismiss the ticket. And the judge looked at him and says, are you guilty? Did you do it? That's it. I hate those questions. Did you do it? Well, yes, I did. He goes, then as a judge, he says, I could not dismiss that ticket because justice required that it had to be paid. So I paid it. I would not be an honest judge if I hadn't paid it, if I just dismissed it, because it deserved punishment. Well, that's what happened in our lives. We deserve the punishment. We deserve it because we blow it. We make mistakes. We miss the mark. And God sent Jesus to take care of it. He was human, so he could do that. And if he hadn't have been human, he wouldn't have died. There are some religions that believe that Jesus never became human. So he never touched the earth with his feet or stuff like that. It wouldn't have worked. He could not have paid for our sins if he had not gone to the cross as a human being and willingly gone. And so he did it. So when we get to the Jesus candle, there's a whole lot of stuff in that candle that we could talk about. That Jesus did and continues to do, not just then, but continues today, because he still loves us. He still cares about us. Why do you think he told the apostles to go into all the world and tell people about him? I get amazed at some of the things I hear about some of the people that have, there's one pastor that has a TV program that actually covers the whole world. So anybody with a TV anywhere in the world could pick him up. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. And so Advent is here. Jesus has arrived. The baby has been born. The angels have declared it into the world. The shepherds have gone and spread the good news. And Mary and Jesus and Joseph have gone back to Nazareth, to their hometown, where Jesus is going to grow up. And we're not going to hear anything else about Jesus until he's 12 years old. Because every year they came to the temple on Passover. And when Jesus was 12 and they headed home, he didn't travel with them. I always thought that's kind of weird. How would you notice that your kid's not there, not notice that your kid wasn't there? Because they traveled in large groups for protection. And they thought he was with some other part of the family. And then they got looking around and going, where's Jesus? And they went back to Jerusalem. It took them 3 days to find him. He was in the temple courts, talking with the authorities, the leaders, the people. And they were amazed at his knowledge. But his mom says, why have you treated us this way? Come on, we're going home. And scripture says, he went home with them. And he was obedient. And then when he hit 30, he entered the ministry, which was the time that people entered ministry. Jesus was perfect. He did everything he was supposed to. He lived under the Old Testament. So they did everything that was required in the Old Testament. Praise God, we don't live that way. We don't live that way. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. Thank you that you have and had a plan, and you still have a plan for what's still coming. You told us that Jesus was coming and he came into the world. And so many people, Lord, they just try to push against it. For years and years and years, time was measured by our calendar of AD and BC. Now they try and get rid of that to the common occurrence. But Lord, thank you that we know that you love us. You've taken care of it all. You continue to take care of it all. And Lord, we still are in an Advent season, still anticipating your second coming, a time when you'll come back and bring this all to an end. Your Holy Spirit speaks to us directly now in place of prophets, but you still have them. We don't have to go to Bethlehem. We don't have shepherds. We still have the angels that will be taking part. Your word explains it, but we don't always understand it, the significance of it. Open it up to us, Lord. Open it up so we can see it and rejoice in that coming. In Jesus' name, amen.